How We Made Your Mother is a rewatch podcast that looks back episode by episode at the hit TV show How I Met Your Mother. It's hosted by me, Josh Radner, along with series co-creator and my friend Craig Thomas.
Follow How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Aaron Rupar joining us, courtesy of the John Shuchikola Banker Hotline. And Aaron, thanks again for being on the show. I started tonight's show in the first 35 minutes of the show. I have told people my way of kind of dealing with the next 4 years of Donald Trump. And pretty much everybody agrees with me on the text line and also the phone calls that I took, where I basically laid out that, you know, I know that I'm going to be upset at times. I know I'll be frustrated. I'll feel a certain way or whatever, but I'm not going to be obsessed with it. Like, I get it. We're in the media. This is our jobs. We have to talk about certain things, whatever, but I'm going to try to pace myself. I'm in a different situation, though, than you slightly, because I have the opportunity to talk pop culture as well as politics and then a lot of sports and stuff like that. This is what you do, man. You're like in the political sphere, so your escapism isn't as unique as mine. But how do you view, like, what you're going to have to tackle? Do you view it as, you know what, it's just business as usual? Because you have been tackling these issues for quite some time, which has made you extremely popular.
Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting question. I haven't really thought through it probably as thoroughly as you have, it sounds like. You know, I will say, obviously, I did this for his entire first term as well. I moved to D.C. to start covering national politics in February of 2016, and I started covering Trump basically right away. So there was kind of that surreal feeling. You know, even tonight, he took his first kind of like press conference in one of the rooms in the White House that he used to use for press events as well. And, you know, there is kind of that deja vu feeling of like, wow, we're right back into the Trump presidency again. But yeah, I mean, you know, I don't know if you talked at all about his press conference tonight. But,
I haven't. You know, lay it out for the people, so
yeah,
they are aware.
It was vintage Trump in kind of the worst possible way, in the sense that there was a question about the wildfires in California. And he talked about how water restrictions out there that I guess restrict some homes to 38 gallons of water, which sounded made up to me. But he started talking about how, you know, that sounds like a lot of water unless you're a rich person and you like to take long showers. That's almost a direct quote. I put the clip up on my X and Blue Sky account, so you can check it out there. But, you know, all the stuff about water management. And then he talked about pardoning the January 6th insurrectionists. And a reporter asked him if he thinks that assaulting police officers is bad. And he said that he does. And then the reporter asked him how he can justify pardoning criminals who assaulted police officers on January 6th. And he said, I don't know. You know, he didn't even really have a response for it. So that was kind of my big takeaway, is it seems like he's kind of lazier than ever these days, where that was not the only question, where it seemed like he didn't really even have, you know, response for policies that he's been implementing these past couple days, you know, whether through pardons or the executive orders that he's been doing. So, yeah, I mean, you know, in terms of like the mental health and how to deal with the next 4 years, I haven't really figured it out, but I'm used to kind of the flooding the zone of Trumpism. And, you know, it's 0 to 100, basically. We're right back into it here.
Well, let me ask you this. Do you think, like, I don't even know if you can really, because you can't predict the future, but do you think that his tone with how he deals with media is going to be any different, that he's going to be more of an adversary towards the media? Because he has made some inflammatory comments about the media and, you know, and about licensing and all of these different things. And, you know, we have these people that quote unquote champion free speech, but they really aren't championing free speech, being Mark Zuckerberg and Elon Musk. How do you think that Trump is going to deal with us in the media?
It was kind of the same old tonight. The reporter who was grilling him on the pardoning of criminals who assaulted police officers is Peter Alexander from NBC News, who was a White House reporter back during his first term. And, you know, Peter kept pressing the question, because Trump's response was incoherent, because he was saying on one hand, you know, beating up police officers is bad, but then he was also trying to justify pardoning these, you know, these people who beat up police officers. And you know, after a while, Trump did kind of his usual thing where he turned it on the reporter and called him, you know, nasty, and, you know, tried to cut him off and go to a different reporter. And that's all kind of vintage Trump. Now, you know, you do touch upon something important that was obviously coming through at his inauguration yesterday, which is that, you know, these billionaire tech oligarch social media platform owners, Elon Musk and Zuckerberg and, you know, the TikTok CEO, they're all, you know, very explicitly kind of on his side now. And I think that, you know, is kind of a big difference between 2017 and now. I mean, you think back to Trump's first term and the efforts that Twitter at the time, now X, you know, Facebook, the efforts they made to suppress disinformation, whether it be about COVID or lying about election fraud, those sorts of things. I mean, that's all out the window now. And that will work to Trump's favor because, you know, even today, there's so many lies that he tells in one of these press events that it's just kind of overwhelming. And, you know, one check on that last time around was that these social media platforms would limit the spread of some of those lies or put tags on posts, you know, explaining that he was lying. But now that's not going to happen. So I feel like he's going to be able to lie with more impunity than he could last time.
Yeah, we're talking to Aaron Rupar from a public notice Substack and newsletter here on the Lake Show on News Talk 830 WCCO. I'm glad that we're talking to you now because you're all over the press conference. Was he asked directly about what we all saw with regards to the Elon Musk Nazi salute? People can spin it however they want to spin it. It was a Nazi salute. We saw it. He did it twice. Was he asked about that?
He was not asked about it, actually. I hadn't thought about that before you brought it up. But, you know, that is interesting that nobody asked him because he took questions for probably about an hour. And there were some really good questions in there, but nobody asked about that specifically. And I do think it's really interesting, you know, kind of the pushback that we've seen from Trump people basically saying, don't believe what your eyes told you, you know, kind of believe what we're telling you. And they've kind of primed us for this, right? Because if you think back to Trump's first term, you know, his first year in office, after the Charlottesville riots, you know, with the white supremacists, and there was a woman who was killed who was a counter-protester, and Trump had his infamous press conference where he said that some of the people who were marching with the white nationalists were very fine people. You know, this was on tape, you know, at a press conference. I remember clipping it at the time. And then it turned into this thing now where years later, you know, Trumpers have been screaming about this for so long that it was a hoax and that he didn't really say this. And, you know, he was taken out of context. And, you know, I mean, I've revisited the footage many times since then. He said what he said. But, you know, that's kind of a thing that, you know, it's a tactic that Trumpers use is, you know, almost it's gaslighting, basically, you know, trying to disbelieve your own senses or your own logical reasoning or intuitions. And this is another example of that. I mean, we all saw what Elon Musk did. And I think that should really be sufficient. I don't think that we should get too bogged down in trying to, you know, argue with Trumpers, you know, about the angle of his arm or things like this. I mean, I think sometimes you just have to kind of believe what your senses tell you and kind of make inferences and, you know, form beliefs from there and not get too bogged down in letting these Trumpers try to gaslight you and, you know, try to tell you that you didn't actually see what you saw.
Yeah, 100%. The gaslighting is about to get ratcheted up. Now who was because we're going to play the soundbite a little bit later for our bite of the night. But Democratic Representative Chris Murphy, who was he talking to earlier? He was talking to somebody earlier.
Yes. Who? This was Lee Stefanik, who is the nominee for UN ambassador.
I mean, she clearly, she embarrassed herself. Like, basically, you know, she, in front of us, and we'll get to the bite of the night at 7:20, but she essentially told us what we saw wasn't what we saw. And to me, in that very moment, I'm like, you're spitting in my face and telling me it's raining outside. Like, I could not believe that she had the gall to do that to Chris Murphy earlier today. I couldn't believe that.
Yeah, you know, and well, that's part of the thing with these Trump nominees is that's part of the job description, right, is that they have to be able to lie on behalf of Trump and never give an inch. And another, you know, that was on CBS this morning that you may or may not have seen. I posted the clip was Marco Rubio, who has now confirmed as Secretary of State. He was being interviewed by Gayle King. And Gayle King, or excuse me, actually, it was Nate Burleson, former Minnesota Viking, who it's always funny to me when I see these football players asking political questions. You know, it's kind of jarring. But he actually asked Marco Rubio a really good question. He basically said, you know, Trump said during the campaign that he would end the Russia-Ukraine war on day one. That did not happen. So how do you explain that? And Rubio had to do this kind of twisted dance where he basically said, well, what Trump really meant is that it's now the official U.S. policy to end the war. So really, he did follow through on his promise, you know, but it was just ridiculous where it's like, you know, what Trump said is very, very clear that he would end the war. He actually said he was going to end it before he took office. And of course, that didn't happen. He didn't end it on day one. But that's what you have to do if you're working for Trump. I mean, you can never say, oh, he was wrong or he misspoke, because that's, you know, the first rule of Trumpism is never apologize, never give an inch. And so you have to twist yourself into knots and kind of make yourself look absurd to do your job.
Yeah, I just it's super interesting to me how. just so many people have kind of gotten caught up in the rhetoric and the promises and all this other stuff, and it's just, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. What did you make of the withdrawing from who?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like a weird, you know, I mean, we've lived through this, right? Like, mm-hmm. that was part of the, with COVID the first time around, Trump eliminating the White House office that dealt with pandemic preparedness, you know, which obviously came back to bite us during COVID. And it's like, you would hope that, you know, he would have learned some lessons from that, but it's kind of the orthodoxy on the right that the pandemic, you know, we didn't need vaccines and it really wasn't that bad. And we didn't need social distancing. And, you know, I heard James Comer, who is the oversight chair in the House, talking about this in relation to the pardon of Anthony Fauci. And first of all, it's ridiculous that Anthony Fauci would need a pardon at all, because, you know, I think he was one of the best public servants that we had during COVID. But, you know, Comer went on the spiel on, I think it was on Newsmax, where he's basically saying, well, it's one thing if Fauci would have made a mistake, you know, obviously masks didn't work and, you know, we didn't need social distancing. And it's kind of like, really? You know, I mean, I think that masks did work and social distancing at the time was the best thing that we had to try and limit the spread. So it's like, we just didn't learn any lessons from this, where, you know, it would have been nice for Trump to come in and kind of say, you know, we need infrastructure here in case we have a pandemic. Let's get some public health experts in the administration. But instead, people like Fauci have been purged, and it kind of sets us up to be unprepared again. God forbid that, you know, another pandemic hits us.
Yeah, I hope not. We're talking to Aaron Rupar from Public Notice here on the Lake Show, News Talk 830 WCCO. You know, one of the things that's kind of interesting to me, and it's just, it's this, you know, being partisan and how you want to view, you know, your political leaders and, you know, wanting to get caught up into sides is the whole thing about pardons, right? Like I look at the pardons and I have criticized multiple times Joe Biden with regards to, you know, him talking about, I'm not going to pardon, you know, Hunter and all these other things. And then he ends up pardoning Hunter, right? So I get all of that. But one thing people are not going to do is try to look me in my face and act as though the pardon situation with regards to Dr. Fauci and the reason why Joe Biden has pardoned some people versus what Donald Trump is doing with the insurrectionists is the same. We know why Joe Biden pardoned certain people. They were about to be attacked by Donald Trump. Am I wrong there?
No, and I would actually go a little bit further. And to me, I think the Hunter Biden pardon was completely defensible for the same reason that you're kind of touching upon with Fauci and with Mark Milley, where, you know, Biden said these things in 2020, probably not foreseeing that Trump would be the Republican nominee. And maybe he should have been less categorical and kind of left the door open a little bit. But, you know, even after these pardons, I was just before we got on this call watching Marsha Blackburn on Newsmax, and she's talking about possibly having a Supreme Court challenge to some of the pardons that were issued, you know, to try and overturn them somehow, which seems like a long shot, but they're going to have hearings about this. And, you know, it seems very clear to me that because Republicans kind of need an enemy in this way, even though they have all this power, Comer and these guys need people to investigate, that if Hunter Biden hadn't been pardoned, it just would have been never ending. And there have been hearings after hearings, and, you know, he would have been kind of the whipping boy for them. And now, you know, Trump, even yesterday after his inauguration, was accusing Nancy Pelosi of committing crimes. And of course, she didn't get a pardon. So that kind of, you know, caused my, you know, spidey sense to start tingling a little bit, that are they going to have hearings about Nancy Pelosi on January 6th? His claim being that, you know, he offered her National Guard troops around the Capitol that she refused, even though he was the commander in chief, of course. But, you know, it just seems like Republicans, especially Trump Republicans, kind of need these villains to investigate. And so to me, you know, it was kind of, it's obviously politically a bad move. And had Kamala Harris won, I don't think we would have seen pardons for Hunter Biden or any of these other people. But it's just a response, you know, it's more of a reflection to me of Trump in the fact that, you know, he wants to weaponize the government against his political foes than it is a reflection of Biden.
Yeah, I just, you know, it's just so funny because, you know, and I say this respectfully to all the people out there listening to the audience, but when people will text the show or call and they try to act like it's all the same, like, don't gaslight me. Like, we're not, like, everyone's not dumb. We have a pulse. We understand what's going on. And let's just call it for what it is.
Yeah, you know, that's what Trump wants people to believe, is that, you know, he's very cynical and that both sides are bad. And, you know, this was kind of his thing with, when he was explaining today the pardons of some of the January 6th criminals. You know, his point that he was trying to make is that, well, in this country, we don't really pardon, or we don't really punish murderers anyway. People, you know, people commit murder and they you know, they don't really go to prison, which, of course, is not true. But, you know, kind of two wrongs make a right kind of mentality, which I think is very endemic to Trumpism. And I think, you know, that's kind of part of the deal with these pardons, too, is that instead of having a defense on the merits, it's like, well, you know, Biden did these pardons. And so, you know, why can't we do the same thing?
Yeah. Hey, before I let you go, you are going to be revealing. Do you got a Substack coming out tomorrow? And if so, what should people be paying attention to?
Yeah, I actually have local writer Lisa Needham, who writes for me regularly, doing an explainer on the TikTok situation and kind of explaining, you know, how TikTok gave this win to Trump and kind of made it very easy for him to come into office saying he saved TikTok and what that means for the platform going forward.
Hey, I appreciate the time, Aaron. We'll be talking to you soon, my man.
Great. Anytime.
All right. That's Aaron Rupar from Public Notice joining us here on The Lake Show.
Hey guys, it's Daxton.
And Hayden from Blondies Out Loud.
And if you've ever thought about starting a podcast or making money from one,
we use Creator Lab from Odyssey for our show, and it's honestly been so easy.
It's free hosting, and it gives you a really simple way to earn on top of whatever you're already doing.
Which, of course, we love because it just adds another stream without the extra work.
So, if you're a creator or podcast curious,
check it out at creators.odyssey.com.